Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fairbanks City Council work session this Tuesday, August 20th, 2024. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Prews.
I'm here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Rogers.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle is absent today. Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Mr. Marnie.
I am here.
Mr. Ringstad.
Here.
Okay, first item on our agenda is Ordinance 6283. An ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code by enacting Section 10-07 to require that vacant buildings be secured and registered for fines and violations of these requirements. And we postponed this approximately a month ago. And it is now, we have now, if you look at amended substitute or a proposed substitute from Ms. Sprinkle. Ms. Sprinkle is not here today, but I told her that when this does come up for a second reading, we can discuss these things quite thoroughly and vigorously. If there's anything you want to discuss on it today, she has a few inserts. Any discussion on this? Yeah, there's under proposed. Yeah. Okay, seeing, yes, Mr. Marnie.
Well, I think Mr. Cleworth has kind of led us down the road that this would be great for the snowbirds that every neighborhood has to go ahead and get it registered, and you know, just in case somebody broke in and the police would be able to access the house.
You know, also, if you take into consideration some of the items that happened in the last, say, 10 days, we've had two fires in vacant homes and a car. So, you know, you're getting some, sadly, some extreme vandalism in vacant property. So, anyway. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Just a quick note on, let's see here, item C, which is on the second page. I think I might have mentioned this before, but the under the duty to register, second or third line, it says information on the registry is confidential, not intended for public release. I think I may have mentioned this, but the registry would be a public record. And so even though it's considered confidential, not intended for public release, if we were to get a public record request, we would have to release that information under the state law. So, I mean, I think the intent of this sentence is just that we're not going to broadcast it or, you know, post it online or anything, but just wanted to make sure folks were clear on that.
Any other questions before we move on?
Not a question, but any questions? Mm-hmm. We need to rewrite that to make that apparent to people so they know where they stand.
Okay. Moving on to Ordinance 6285 on the agenda. An ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 74-36, Economic Development Property Tax Exemption for Deferral and Enacting Section 74-37, Tax Incentive for Property Development, Redevelopment, or Renovation. And again, we have the ordinance and the proposed substitute that Ms. Sprinkle, who put in a lot of time on this. And she's not here, but I'd like to commend her for what she's doing right now. She is working the polls. Again, if there's any discussion on this, and I told her that we would have a very good, no time limit discussion on this when we bring this up at our next meeting. Thoughts, discussion? Okay. Mr. Cleworth.
I would think it might be wise to wait on this until after we look at the budget and see where we stand. The outlook from the Finance Committee that we received a month ago is concerning. And like I say, just see where we stand to see if at that time we could afford the incentive. The fiscal note at the end of this is an eye-opener, so.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Ms. Tidwell, then Mr. Ringstad.
I was just wondering, and we may not know because Sue's not here, but
What's the, like, to change exemption to rebate? Why is that?
What was your question? Mr. Sanders can answer that question.
So the reason that, well, there's a few reasons. Margarita pointed out that the rebate is actually what we were trying to do. That's just the correct term for it. But by it being a rebate, we're not lowering our tax rolls. I know that's something that Mr. Cleworth has been concerned about with this. The taxes are coming in, it's hitting the general fund, and then after that, we are rebating the money back. So our tax rolls continue to grow during this whole process.
Ms. Rogers.
A little off the wall comment or question combined here. We have a lot of discussion on this. We have these resulting proposals and whatnot, but one of the things that I've noted in some of my information that comes to me is that I do not know of us responding in mass with everybody and discussing. A gentleman who has regularly contacted us for the last maybe 2-3 years now, Alex Gagne has. I don't know of any discussion that we've had here that relates to that. And so I have a kind of a reticence about how we're going forward. We're galloping, we're creating all this methodology for handling these things. And yet we've got a person who's had a problem for a very long time, has been contacting us. And I don't really see where we've been able to answer his concerns. Have you and Mr. Haas spoken with each other, or
no?
Do you recall the messages that I'm talking about? They're like 2 and 3 pages long, and they become continuous as, you know, the problem persists there. But
we've had the building department go over and do, you know, the correct people have discussed the issues with him from the city.
Okay, I've driven by those properties several times, and there's been a couple of small things that seem to improve the situation, but the main aspect of it still persists. And so if we're going to talk about a blanket discussion of all the buildings in our area, we need to really look at our responses up to this point of some of the things that have been there. There's a few properties that are over in another neighborhood off of Aurora where that was responded to and things happened and people spoke here and in letters and all that sort of thing. And I don't see that with this other situation. And I'm looking around the town, driving different neighborhoods and whatnot. We have a certain number of categorized properties, perhaps is the way to say it. But I also see many others that aren't listed, and I'm wondering at the inequity of why we have probably dozens and dozens and dozens beyond what we've identified. If we're going to use blanket things like when we use the term, Mr. Marnie, about the idea of people who are only here for part of the year and determine that that's a category, I think that maybe it's something that we should take into consideration, but I'm not real sure that that's in the realm of understanding our situation. So I just think that there's a whole lot of rushing forward with ways of dealing with this, but I'm not real sure that we've had all the discussions that are necessary. So I'm just bringing it up.
Mr. Ringstead and Mr. Cleworth.
The question, I guess, is for Mike on the rebate versus the other. What's the difference? Is that relevant to the tax cap?
How it's, my understanding is how it's relevant is if it was an exemption or a deferral, then our tax base would not be growing with the improvements. If it's a rebate, those funds are, they're coming to the city, they're getting taxed like normal, and then we...
But if you just turn around and give them out, I mean, what's the difference?
Because then our tax base is still increasing.
So what?
So if you exempt it, then you never get those funds. In 5 years, you'll be getting...
It doesn't go into the growth.
Well, five years it goes in, right?
I guess I'm not following. Margarita, you want to hop in?
The way the tax cap works is...
So it is relevant to the tax cap.
Right, in a sense. And you take the base amount, and that amount is your starting point for the next year.
Right.
So if you're reducing it, instead of you're doing exemption versus a rebate, then your starting balance would reduce because you're exempting it. So then the next year, you're starting out with a low amount. With the rebate, it is that amount stays the same and then rolls over to the next year. So
we're only giving...
Because it's not exempted.
We're only exempting the increase in value.
Right, correct.
So your rate doesn't go down, it just stays the same. Because the exemption's only for the what you had last year is still there, right?
Well, if you're using the assessed value, so and then once you determine what that amount is based on your assessed values, then that becomes your base amount for the next year. If you exempt it, then you're reducing that base amount. So then the next year, whatever you've exempted is no longer carrying forward to the next year.
So effectively, the difference is we're raising the tax cap.
No, I guess yes, in a sense. Yeah, that's a way to look at it, yes.
Mr. Clearworth.
We brought up the question of whether this is transferable. So if you have a developer who sells it within a year or two, does that go to the new owner? Was that addressed in here? I don't
see. Yeah, bottom of page three.
Bottom page, where is that at?
Mr. Marnie.
It's not transferable. Okay, thank you.
Well, I think this is good. I think if we take our time and include, you know, all the people involved as far as people that flip homes, remodel homes, people that build, you know, duplexes and fourplexes and all that. If we get a discussion and do it right, I think this will benefit the city for a long term.
Again, we'll be reviewing this more in detail when Ms. Sprinkle is here. Okay, moving on, we're at ordinance 6289, an ordinance amending Schedule A of the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Fairbanks and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 1547, for the code compliance inspector position. And Christoph, do you want to address this with us, please, since this is in your department? And since you're here, we thought we'd have you speak anyway.
Okay. So are we talking about the electrical inspector?
Yes.
Okay. So one of our options is to try to hire somebody out of the hall. You know, and I don't think that would be a permanent basis, but it would hopefully be a consistent temporary type of situation. But through feedback from the hall, they feel like the 100% in the pay scale would need to be increased to that value, to that $50 value. And that's my understanding.
At this moment in time, there's you and who else in the office on a permanent basis?
On a permanent basis, we have, currently, it's myself, the building official, plans examiner, and Michael Davis, the plumbing mechanical inspector.
How many people are you down?
Our admin position is filled with a great temporary help. It'd be awesome if somehow we could. Yes, we got to find a position for him.
But, he is an exceptional person.
He is an exceptional person, yes. But Kelsey will be starting to work her way back in probably within the next month, doing part-time for mornings.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're missing is we're missing our structural inspector. And the way we're handling this is we have Marty Woodrow, who's worked here full-time for 15 years. But the last couple of years, he's been, thankfully, you know, for the most part, a month on, month off. And that's a huge help. And somehow we're kind of making that work for now. But we are still trying to fill his position to a full-time person.
And the electrical inspector here.
And then the electrical inspector with Clem retiring is a void. And then we need to fill it with a qualified electrical inspector.
Mr. Ringstead, you had your hand up?
Yes. Okay, so the position is currently in as an IBEW union position.
No, it's not. It is? Okay.
So the only difference here is we're changing the salary for this position.
Correct.
So the note says an annual cost of $21,000 for a total of $42,000 for two positions, right? So we got the... Okay, I thought we were talking about an electrical inspector here. What's the other position? What am I not seeing here? It's too early in the morning for me today, I think.
Currently, we're just specifically talking about the electrical inspector.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought. The fiscal note, though, says has two positions.
The department... has two code compliance. I don't know if you have your budget books available. Absolutely. But on page 179, you'll see that the department currently has one code compliance inspector. And with the addition of another code compliance inspector specifically for electrical, that brings them to two positions. So when you change the salary of one of that code compliance, you have to change the salary for both positions.
So we're adding a position? No, this was an existing position.
You're changing a position. You're changing from, if you're looking at page 179, what you're doing is you're removing a plans examiner and you're adding a code compliance inspector.
So how many compliance inspector positions do we have now?
Here, sorry, I'll clarify that a little bit. So the general category is code compliance inspector, and the specific would be, or currently we have a code compliance inspector, which is our mechanical plumbing inspector. So he is a code compliance inspector. Sorry, I think that's all with the bargaining agreement and the IBEW, we need to classify those positions. So what we're missing currently is with Clem retiring is that a co-compliance inspector who is the electrical inspector.
I thought we had that position in there, and Clem was just doing it in his extra time.
Correct.
So the positions are both in there, but we're having to change the salary scale for both positions.
Correct, because we're changing the co-compliance inspector, which applies to two positions.
And one, I recall,
being the mechanical plumbing and the other being the electrical.
Right.
And the plans examiner is still there. It's just that's right. You're looking at the plans examiner.
As I recall, this position's been vacant for quite a while.
The senior structural inspector position has been vacant, which is filled by
But I mean, Marty for doing the a couple of years.
Since Marty,
semi-retired?
Semi-retired, yeah. Which, yes, is about 2 years now, yeah.
Maybe. Thanks.
Any other questions? Ms. Rogers?
You referred to that Marty was a month on, 1 month off. Was that his request, or is that scheduled work, or how did that relationship come about? So,
yes, for the most part, that he needs to be out of state where, you know, his family for the most part is in Missouri. They run a campground. Typically, any holiday is a big time for that campground. So it works out more or less a month on, month off. It's not exact, but yes. And that's so that we...
And did that work out really well for both parties?
It is working out well for both parties, but it would be nice to have a permanent position filled.
Oh. Well, I was just encouraged to hear you say that, because that's been my way of meeting work responses all my life, is to be creative with the relationships that you work with, because when we have these cut in stone, you may not move a foot unless you get permission from so-and-so or whatever. You know what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like it might be one of our solutions, is to have that kind of opportunity for people.
Yeah, and I would say it is a solution for the near future, because the lack of qualified responses we're getting to fill that position, and we are making it work, and it seems to be working out for both parties.
Any other questions? Thank you, Christoph. Greatly appreciate it. Okay, next up is Resolution 5135, a resolution awarding a contract to Coalaska, Inc., in the amount of $277,562 for the 4th Avenue and State Street Storm Drain Project. Mr. Pristash, you want to come up and bring us through this?
Morning.
We'll see if it is or not.
Yeah, the bids came in at what, 277, right, Margarita?
Yes.
And I think this was one of our planned capital improvement projects. I don't know if distribution was made to show those capital improvement projects this morning, but the estimate was 104, but it came in at 277. The reason for that is, going back to the beginning, this corrects a connection of the storm drain system to the sanitary sewer system, which is illegal, essentially. This is at the corner of 4th and State Street, and there's a property that's low there. So years ago, I guess Public Works thought it was a good idea to just resolve the problem quickly, because there is no storm drain in the area, so they put in catch basins and they tied right into the sanitary sewer manhole. Well, it was unknown for many years, and everybody was happy with the situation, and then the house flooded for some reason, and it was because GHU sewer main was frozen. So why would the sewer main freezing cause the house to have surface flooding? So everybody started looking around, and we discovered that this connection existed. So I looked at it briefly last year when we were putting the budget together, and I said, well, this fix is fairly straightforward if we just fix that particular problem. So that's where the 104,000 estimate came from. But then when we started surveying and we started looking at what we really should be doing in the area, and then I got Public Works involved and what they wanted to do, we advertised for something that was more than just a fix. It was an extension of the storm drain system, essentially making it deeper. So after this part was done, we can extend the storm drain system and fix other problems further upstream. So that's why the bid came in at 277. I think it's a good idea. Public Works thinks it's a good idea. Not only does it fix the drainage problem and relieve the connection to the storm drain, it repaves a road over in that area. There's just the chip surfaces blown out. So that's where we're at.
Mr. Marnie.
Is that going to happen this year?
Yes. Yeah, we advertised, and we got 3 or 4 bids, and you know, we made recommendation to accept the award, and because it's over 250, we got to have council resolution to give the mayor the authority to award.
Mr. Ringstead.
So I'm looking at this spreadsheet here, the 4 bids and what right. have you. There's kind of 2 pieces, just so I'm kind of understanding. One is well, the first one it goes through has got each of the 3 bids and our estimates. Now, I think what I heard you say was we've changed the focus of the total project a little bit, increased the work, and that's probably why the costs are so far off.
On the base bid.
On the base bid. There's a second piece down here on this sheet. You don't have it. One's an alternative, an additive alternate versus the base bid. What is it? I mean, what's the difference here?
Realizing that 250 is the limit for the mayor to make the award.
Right.
I broke the bid or the advertisement into 2 parts, a base bid and an additive alternative.
And the additive is the extra work?
So we can award only the base bid without awarding the additive alternative.
Okay, so
that's what I'm recommending now, because the additive alternative coming in, I think, was 4 something. I think it's a little too high to accept, and we could advertise that separately next year, and it would be the next phase of this storm drain extension.
Do we save anything by doing it all at one time?
Not this late in the year. I think that's
late in the year for that, yeah.
Well, it's, you know, paving typically stops at the latest is around the end of October. And
maybe the end of September this year.
It could be. You never know.
Global warming.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, for a 2-inch pavement mat, it's a little late in the year to go to end of October. If we were putting down 6 inches of asphalt, that can heat the grade up, so you can push the season a little farther. But at some point, the asphalt plants close down, and so. I think they're looking at, if we want to get it done this year, they're saying, if you really want it done this year, this is what it's going to cost you.
Well,
and I'm listening to them.
I'm looking at this and thinking, I mean, the low bid is still more than double what our estimate was.
Right, yeah, because
the additional work is the alternative piece, right?
The additional work, right, is taking the storm drain system further upstream. It's paving more roads.
So why is that for the base bid so off?
Well, the base bid is off because the original estimate was 104, which was just to barely fix the flooding problem. Just disconnect it from the sanitary sewer and do anything we can to get it connected to the sewer or storm drain at Badger. But then we started looking at it in more detail, because when I put the budget together, it was pretty close to budget time, so I give it a shot at 104. And I said, well, if we just go a little deeper and get around some of these conflicts with district heat, sanitary sewer services, and water main, we can parlay this sewer or storm drain extension into something better down the road. Instead of putting it in shallow, we're putting it much
really
deeper.
Really did change significantly the base bid too.
Right. The base bid is the thing that changed everything. It's much deeper than the original concept.
Yeah, because that's a huge difference between that and where the dollars came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. You know, other projects that are in the capital budget, the estimate was pretty much right on.
This one's off percentage-wise significant.
There's one in every crowd.
Well, this one is because we changed the concept, really.
Mr. Marnie, then Ms. Rogers.
May I ask about another project?
Oh, we'll come back to that. Ms. Rogers, is it pertaining to this project?
The information we're hearing from you is basically what you're saying is that we're doing it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with Public Works' input too.
Yes.
Because we're fixing a couple of things. Like I said, we're getting rid of the storm drain to the sanitary sewer. We're fixing a drainage problem in there, plus we're paving the road.
Yes. We don't have to go back 2, 3, 4 times.
Hopefully not, yeah.
There you go.
Mr. Pistash, at our next work session, I believe it's September 5th, I'd like you to have a presentation to the City Council on your projects this summer and going this fall, and then status of them, and then what you're looking at for next year too. Sort of give us an update of where we're at with everything.
Okay.
And I was thinking about this before Mr. Marty raised his hand with another aspect. So Mr. Marty, what was your question?
Well, just how the Cal Street project is going, both sides.
You know, Cal Street is, as everybody probably knows, it's been broken into phases, the south side, south of Airport Way, and the north of Airport Way, it goes all the way to the river. Both phases are fully designed, really. And the south side is going to construction next summer, and everybody's counting on it. Fast Planning with their TIP, they're counting on that project to go to spend money that's obligated. The reason that I'm sure that it's going to go next summer is because we did earlier this summer exploratory soil analysis of the contamination, because it's right next to Shoppers Forum, which is what they call a RCRA contaminated site from the dry cleaners that there. And in the city, and you know, in Gavora, we've been discussing this for quite a few years. But when we did analysis of the soil and we picked areas where we were thinking were the worst, we came back with non-detect for the RCRA wastes. So what that means is that material doesn't have to be shipped out of state, which lowered the estimate for the cost of the project, which put it into the realm of going next year to construction. So you really never know what you're going to get until you actually dig it up, but that's why we actually did the soil testing. We know now that in this particular area where we tested, it was non-detect. And it wasn't just a screening, it was sent to a lab for analysis, and then the analysis come back, because there's two different levels when you're checking for contamination. You can screen it in the field, or you can take those samples to a lab, and then they do a lab analysis, and it comes back. That's the surest thing, and that's what we did.
Any other questions? Thank you, Bob. Greatly appreciate your time. Okay. Next on discussion is voter registration and turnout. I don't know who put this on our agenda. Mr. Marty, go ahead.
I'd like to start the conversation. We are all aware of what's happening across the river as far as this mail-in voting. I don't know if it will progress. I think they'll second meeting's Thursday on this, but I think the city needs to kind of be in front of the cue ball here and have an idea of what we think, that is this something that we wish to do and what are the aspects. So I just figured we'd just bring it up.
Mr. Ringstead.
I guess this and tying to another issue, I'm thinking our clerk would like to continue having cooperative elections with the borough. Borough going out and changing their system, I think we should be somehow in sync with this too. I mean, either we're working together or we're not, for them to go out and just say, hey, this is, we're changing. They want to run out and do things without actually doing their homework and talking to us, I think. So I'm concerned. I'm not sure that I want to go that direction, but I think I agree that we need to at least be in the loop and know what's going on and make a decision or be at the table. I'm not sure how that impacts what your office does, Danny, and how you do that. If they're making changes – and we're just going along or whatever.
Danny, do you want to give a full report as he gave to me last week, please?
Well, if the issue moves forward at the borough level, I've already spoken with the borough clerk. We work together very well, and the city will be involved in that process by way of my office's participation, if the council allows that. We would be invited to participate, I believe, on the working group to look into the feasibility of by-mail elections. And my read of the borough resolution is that they would, it's only asking the borough clerk to explore the issue and provide a full report by December 31st of 2025. So if that's what ends up happening, I couldn't see a decision being made by the borough until 2026, probably. And so we've got some time there. That's where I'm at. I have spoken with the borough clerk. We are going to continue to work in cooperation with each other, of course, within the limits of what the council would like me to do.
I had another conversation yesterday with one of our assembly members, and I haven't, quite frankly, done the homework to read, but as I understand it, there was something in this where the Assembly's proposal, the proposal before the assembly says they're appointing our city clerk to be on their commission. And I don't think they have the legal authority to tell our city clerk what to do.
As Danny said,
they should be inviting, but their ordinance was saying that it's going to designate by ordinance what our clerk's doing. And I think that's probably an oversight on their part in terms of where they're boundaries should be, but I think they're dealing with it on Thursday, on their meeting Thursday. I'm not sure who's going to the meeting, whose turn it is in that barrel, but
Mr. Ringstead,
we ought to think about
who does the city clerk work for?
Us.
The city council.
Yeah, that was my point, and they shouldn't be putting into their ordinances what our clerk's going to do.
Bye, Mike. Take one for the team, buddy.
Yeah, it's been real.
Hey, to interrupt you there, John.
But I mean, that was my thought. I mean, just protocol would say that they should be inviting our clerk or inviting the city. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be telling our clerk what to do. And it's a thought process that we keep stumbling into this relationship thing. Might be worth a comment at the assembly meeting Thursday if they're taking this up Thursday evening. That. Can you just reword it and make it a little more appropriate? I haven't read the
city clerk wants to respond.
Just a note about Thursday's meeting. Ms. Tidwell is on the schedule for that meeting, but she will be out of town. She sent me a note. If there's anyone able to fill in for her.
And John, it's pasta night at my house, so you're on your own, buddy. I got to be Italian once in a while.
No to go.
Kids, if no one else can be there in person, I'm just going to be in Anchorage. I think that I could Zoom in, but I did want to put it out there. If somebody wanted to be there in person, that would be
right. Well, okay. As this goes through its manifestations, the city clerk will be keeping you updated at every time something comes up. Simple as that. Mr. Clearworth.
It's going to be an interesting discussion because there's really two schools of thought. One are those that want to make it as easy as possible to vote, and those that want to make it the most responsible way to vote so that there's no question as to the integrity of an election. And the two are somewhat in conflict because in order to get the integrity of election, voting in person is probably the way to go, but for ease, and then mail out is probably the way to go. So how you strike a balance between that, I don't know. And I tend to think erring on the part of making it an election that's without doubt, that that people feel very comfortable with, that the results are what they should be. So it's going to be an interesting discussion. I had that with Danny the other day, and how you do that, how do you strike that compromise? But it'll be a long conversation.
Anything else? Okay. We'll move on to discussion on city representation at borough assembly meetings. Who put that on? Is that Jerry?
Yeah. So we heard at the last meeting there's going to be an ordinance to get rid of the five-minute limitation. I had Danny pull up the ordinance that was originally passed by the assembly back in 2023. What I think we should do is weigh in on this with a resolution to simply ask that they repeal this ordinance 2022-46. The reason for that is it would go back and do what they're suggesting is without limitation again, but it also would restore the ability of a city representative to speak at a borough assembly meeting on issues that come before them. It doesn't have to be restricted to only things that we have permission to speak on as a council member or whatever. It used to be a lot more liberal than it is now. And secondly, on page 3 of 4 of this document, you see where on line 100, it says the mayor may, that no longer can we have the ability to introduce an ordinance. Now, I can't recall the city doing that in a long, long time. It has been done in the past, but not in the last 20 years or so. But prior to this ordinance, we had the ability to introduce an ordinance. You can't vote on it. But that was something they took away from the city. So I would like to see us get a resolution that just simply asks for a repeal of the ordinance. I thought I'd throw that out for discussion. Because otherwise, if you wanted to speak on an issue that we haven't talked about as a council, then, you know, as the paper stated, you have to vacate your seat up there with the borough assembly and come down and testify as a citizen, which gives you actually more rights than you have as a city rep on the assembly. And then you can testify on that ordinance, which seems rather absurd to have to do that. So I throw that out there and see what the comments are here. If you have time, we could get a resolution written by this coming Monday night.
Mr. Ringstead.
So this one we have here, 2022-46, this was adopted a couple of years ago.
Correct.
And somewhere this kind of goes to the issue of relationship to me between the two local governments. That's kind of the core here. I would think that, and I quite frankly have not spent a lot of time at assembly meetings the last few years, but they could come up with any number of issues on their agenda throughout the meeting that might be relevant to our business. And as I look at this quickly, we're allowed to talk on items that are on the agenda, specific to us on the agenda, and not anything on the agenda.
What's happening
these days?
Top of page 3 is really limits you. It says a city or school board rep may participate in debate or discussion with the assembly on agenda items pertaining to their entity.
Now, nothing else.
Technically, everything on their agenda pertains to our entity. Well, we're a part of the borough. But that would be subject to the discrimination of the presiding officer, right, as whether you can speak or not. Now, we adopted a resolution ourselves here, and Danny included that 2 years ago in 2022, a resolution clarifying council member authority when representing the city at FNSB assembly meetings, which essentially said we give them permission to speak on any item. Now, whether that holds weight with the presiding officer or not, I don't know. But I think to kind of restore the relationship we had was simply just to repeal what they did back then.
Is this on the agenda, dealing with this, or is this just an outside
subject? I don't know if it's first reading of Savannah is putting it up for first reading this week or not. I don't know. Do you know?
I haven't looked at the agenda, but I believe so, which it's not repealing this, you know, it's another one, just
fine-tuning something.
Yeah, lifting that time limit.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, I did a little other research yesterday. I got that same call. But I find it interesting that our fellow council men and ladies that represent North City of North Pole have decided that they only attend one meeting a month. Their thought is that it's just a waste of time because they're not appreciated. They just kind of have the same sense that I personally have, that sometimes it is a waste of time for us to take our time and go over there and testify with no regards to, it's just kind of a waste of speech. So I see a deterioration of representation between the borough and the two cities. I just think it's interesting that they've decided within themselves not to come to two meetings. And if there's something on the agenda that comes up that they have other things to do, they'll just not go, period.
Mr. Cleworth, your light is on, sir.
No.
Okay. Mayor, just for the council's note, that ordinance will be introduced August 22nd, so this Thursday is slated for introduction.
You know, we all sign up for three meetings a year. It doesn't mean you have to go. Period. Ms. Rogers.
I'm sorry, but I think from our perspective here, we do have to go. I don't see how you can accomplish things by turning sideways or your back on it and walking away from it. The discussion and continued discussion needs to happen always, no matter what the issue is, and no matter whether you're successful or not, well, you at least have to try. And that's the way I feel about it. I will continue to go to whatever meeting might be considering something that's of importance to our city. And so I think if we decide we just don't have to go, we're shirking our responsibilities.
Mr. Ringstead.
I just got to say, June, that, you know, I don't know how many years we've known each other, but I would like to know what issue you've turned your back and walked away from. As I haven't seen it yet.
Ms. Tidwell.
I'm not sure at what point in time, you know, things started to, or maybe they were always that way where we seemed to be so divided, but I actually think that doesn't help the cause if we're to say we're going to go even less. You know, I don't always stay for their entire meeting because I can't make it until 1 o'clock in the morning usually. But I do think it's important that we are there, and I have felt lately that they're trying to mend that relationship. I think when Savannah brought that forward, even if, you know, we might weigh in and want a little bit more to that resolution, but I think they really are trying to help us repair that relationship. I want to be part of that. I don't want to go even less.
Mr. Ringstead.
You know, I felt the other day when Savannah was here, She was offering us an olive branch, which is better than where we've been, I think, of late. I guess my thought for Thursday would be to have be kind of an honest, you know, appreciate that, okay, we're trying to work together here, and we appreciate that, but here's some of our thoughts on where this resolution could be broader and be more cooperative and actually get a better working relationship and take that approach. That makes sense.
Well,
you know, it gets interesting. I remember as mayor, my first meeting, I went there, 7 o'clock, and they decided to have public input at 6 and never bothered to tell me. Second meeting, I go there, I'm cut off after 2 minutes. Third meeting, I go there, I'm cut off after 2 minutes. So I decided after that, I will go to the first meeting of the year and I'll discuss our budget. And that's what I will give them. But once to twice a month, I have discussions with the borough mayor. And that's where I get the communications to the borough, period, directly with their mayor. So I continue my discussions with them, a very fine person, and not adversarial at all. Very fine discussions. That's how I do it. That's how I will continue to do it until maybe this ordinance that they're going to look at passes and they're more polite. They don't require a city clerk from Fairbanks, things like that. That's how I'll be doing it in the future. We move on. Finance Committee report.
Good morning again, everyone. The Finance Committee is scheduled to meet this Thursday at 7 a.m. The topics are the cash flow analysis, and they will be reviewing the July statements. So this Thursday at 7 a.m. in the Felix Pedro Conference Room.
Okay. Under Mayor and City Council member comments, Mr. Spellman, would you like to come up, please? Thank you for being here so early. Now, also, I have a working relationship with many parts of the borough administration over the last 30 years. Planning and zoning is one of them. Work well all the time with Mr. Spellman on real estate items and items that pertain to the city of Fairbanks. So, great working relationship there. Mr. Spellman wanted to come here to talk today in regards to the Fairbanks 2040 downtown plan and what can be done. And myself, Mr. Ringstead, and Ms. Sprinkle met with him and Ms. Kellner, the deputy director, earlier. And Mr. Spellman, what are your thoughts, sir?
Yes, thank you. Excuse me. Good morning. Mr. Sanders did ask me early last week to come up with a list of the changes to the plan that were made by the Planning Commission and the Assembly. A question, has this been distributed to the council yet? Okay, great. So I just did want to talk through those a little bit, and I apologize, it's taken me, the last time I've been to city council was May, so a fair amount's happened with the plan since May.
That's okay.
And I have more copies if anyone needs
I
copies.
I would like a
copy. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Danny, can you grab me one too?
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. So the day after City Council, I believe it was May 14th, the day after the City Council adopted the resolution, we went to Planning Commission. We had two Planning Commission meetings on this. And the first page that I have included lists, there were 10 recommended changes by the Planning Commission. So these were just recommended changes by the Planning Commission. I'd say most of the votes were unanimous, and I will also mention, I believe Mr. Marney was in attendance and Mayor Pruse was in attendance. You can see the number of changes. I personally would classify many of these as minor changes, listing acronyms, changing some of the wording. You can see a lot of the, or at least the first four changes were in regards to comments the city also passed on a history statement. I believe all four of these were amendments were proposed by Commissioner Stepovich, who's appointed by the city. And then you can see the rest of the changes. There are two that I would classify as substantive. It's the seventh bullet and the ninth bullet. The seventh bullet was in regards to a pedestrian connection. And I know the city got some comments on this prior to their resolution. It was a proposed pedestrian connection along the Slater Street area. It essentially would have been a small bridge over the Noise Slough there, where historically there had been a bridge in the past. So the city did get some comments asking for that to come out. The Planning Commission did get some comments for that to come out. So that was a change recommended by the Planning Commission. And then the final change that I did also feel was substantive was the last one asking for a toilet facility in the Golden Heart Plaza area. I know the city's already put a lot of work into the I believe the Portland Loo is the name of that. So I guess putting things in context, the history of kind of what happened. So the Planning Commission had two meetings on this, recommended the changes. The next day I called Mayor Pruse, talked through this. I did think a lot of them were, again, not that substantive. At least offhand, it didn't seem like hopefully there were any major changes. So we did include all of these changes in our draft that went to the assembly. So it took a couple of months, but it was in June that the assembly got this meeting. And that's, before I get there, the final page of the document is that history statement that we came up with as well. So last time I was here, I promised we'd draft a history statement. Planning Commission also wanted to see that. That's what we put together. You can see the different categories, indigenous people of Fairbanks, Gold Rush era, infrastructure, a little bit on the pipeline, economic diversification, and then just citing our other resources, our historical preservation plan, our historical signage plan, our walking tour that we already have. So that's the language on the last two pages of the document I handed. And then document got to the assembly. There were two changes that were recommended by the assembly. Both were in the introduction section, specifically to the background and diversity, equity, and inclusion section. So the assembly did take one sentence out, and that sentence was recommended by the City of Fairbanks in regards to early explorers and prospectors. And then there was another statement that the city recommended taking out that the assembly put back in regards to indigenous place names. So that's kind of the history of what happened. The assembly did adopt the plan that night. And I do recognize and understand that the city's resolution was contingent on all of their changes, which two of those sentences, again, weren't consistent with the city's resolution. So where we're at now is, from a borough perspective, we're working on implementing the plan. The first thing you kind of heard me talk about months ago was parking. We're working on a parking ordinance to repeal some of our parking regulations in the downtown. Had a good conversation last week with the Downtown Association, hopefully to get a project on signing some of the downtown parking lots a little bit better so folks know that they can park here, that type of thing. So we're still working on that. I'm open to ideas. I started all of my presentations before the assembly on this plan represents a partnership. We really want it to be a partnership. Even from the former discussion that the council just had, I know there's other things going on. I really hope to have this plan as a partnership and work together to improve the downtown. So I don't know what the best path forward is right now with working with the city on this plan. I know the city's already doing a lot of the aspects in this plan with some of the abatement projects, et cetera. So really, I just wanted to come talk to the council, see if I could answer any questions, and just really put this document in writing showing the changes since the council last saw that. So I believe that's all I have, unless there's any questions, or I'm happy to participate in any conversation the council may have.
Any questions? Mr. Clayworth.
Kellen, thank you for coming here. To follow up on your comment about parking downtown, I knew that that ordinance was being worked on, and that's, I think, essentially to repeal the requirement to provide so many parking spaces for a new development, something like that. You mentioned talking to Downtown Association, but more importantly, you should be talking to the Parking Authority. Somehow they get left out of the loop on these discussions, and the folks that deal with it every day. So I would encourage you to include them in the conversation. I think, Bob, are you still on that committee?
Yeah.
Yeah. That should very much be a part of it. There's two different entities there. So technically, where we're at is we adopted a plan which was changed. So from just a legal standpoint, what we adopted is really not in effect, right? Okay. So where do we go from here, I guess, is the question. I don't think you technically need us to be on board to adopt that at the borough level. Is that correct, too?
So technically, the plan has been adopted by the Assembly as an official element of the comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
From the get-go of the project 7 years ago, I said from the first meeting that we really want the city's support, and I'm open to any ideas we can have to try to get there.
For me personally, the changes of the Planning Commission, I agree with you, are fairly minor. The bridge over, walking bridge over the noise slough is something I totally missed. I just didn't see it in there. And the residents had a legitimate concern there, so I was glad they took care of that one. I think the rub comes in on what the Assembly did, because for them to delete a portion of our history seems counterproductive. And I think that's where I took some offense that we put that in there with a lot of thought. They took it out. So that's kind of where I stand now, but I don't know where the mayor wants to go with this as far as trying to be in sync with what passed, or just leave it as it is. Let's move on.
Mr. Marnie.
Kellen, thank you. Has there been any discussion as far as the borough participating in the ESP or the Emergency Service Patrol for downtown?
I don't believe so. I know it gets a little funny. That's definitely outside of my department, what that would look like. So it gets a little funny with powers of the second-class borough. So I'm not sure that's something we could do, but that's something I can definitely start inquiring about and seeing what that would look like at the borough in terms of, if we even have the powers to do that.
Well, I was kind of looking at history in the past, and it looks like up until about 2007, FNA was the primary source of the funding, and then that went away, and that's when I think the Downtown Association started, and the city started picking that expense up. So, I mean, if we're all going to be together in a downtown, I think that should be a conversation that you guys should have.
Mr. Spellman, we've had an exceptional relationship over the last 15 years, I would say. And I know we'll continue that. So I'm going to ask you to do something. What can the city do to help fix or give an olive branch to this? I trust you. I know you. You know me. So think what we can do here on our side of the equation. For you, you've put in 7 years of work on this. I don't want to see this canned because of edits that we didn't agree with. So come back to us with something. It's palatable if you could. We like working with you, sir. Trust you inherently. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion for Ms. Rogers?
Well, this is probably not the best comment to be introducing at any meeting, any time, I've learned over the years. But there's been a lot of discussion about it in our community over the years from a variety of different organized groups in our community and from different government bodies. And given the fact that, as you mentioned, we have a fine professional who's here reporting to us about all of the very intricate work that has gone into developing this, and has worked on both sides of the river here for many years, and has our respect. And it just may very well be time for us to consolidate in a way that doesn't keep people off to the sides in a way that's not productive. Consolidation is something that has been discussed, it's been voted upon, it's been all sorts of things. It's never really been tried because we're getting farther and farther and farther away rather than closer and closer and closer. It's ironic that in such a small community, we have so many official bodies. And it may very well be that it's time for us to really roll up our sleeves and start talking about what consolidation would look like. There.
Okay, anything else for Mr. Spellman? Thank you, sir. Also, under mayoral comments, sometimes we have to adapt, hence our work session change, because some people might not be back from hunting. So we're adaptable. Also, I've talked with the borough mayor, and what we're going to do is we're going to have a informal get-together with the borough assembly and the city council, maybe some department heads, after our next election. That way, break bread, talk, have discussion. So, as this comes about more, I'll let you know the when, the where. Mr. Ringstead, any comments? Mr. Marty? Ms. Tidwell, Mr. Clearworth.
I'm going to head and have a resolution written up, as I spoke of earlier, so we'll have the funding. I just want to give you a heads up on that. And also a part of that is a thank you for them a year ago returning the appeals board rights to the city. That was a close vote, but it acknowledged that they did that. I appreciate them doing that. Follow up on consolidation. It's been talked about in the past, unification, consolidation, they're a little different from each other. The problem is too much water has gone under the bridge. And if you have one consolidated entity, then they have to provide police and road service to the borough. And the cost to the average borough taxpayer would go up astronomically. That's the Achilles heel in the problem. I don't see how you overcome that, but that's probably why it will never happen, because the price tag would be very, very high. And two, we're not redundant to them. Our services are different than the borough. The only savings would ever be getting rid of a city council, one elected body, consolidating the bodies. Getting rid of a mayor.
I'd hate to see North Pole mayor go away.
And The savings are so minimal, but the costs would be very, very high. And then what do you do with your city's permanent fund? How do you handle that? On and on. That's why the talks when they really got into it never really went anywhere. But the follow-up on June, a better working relationship would be desirable. As long, I sat on as a city rep on the borough assembly for 6 years. Back then, we didn't take turns. It was just one person was appointed. And I attended all their meetings, and they talked about dogs and everything else until the wee hours of the morning. But we had, back in the early days, we had the right to even attend their executive sessions. And as the years went by, everything was eroded and until what we got to in this position that we're in now. So we've witnessed this deterioration over time, and we've tried to extend the olive branch. When we had the properties they wanted, and they would swap us some property they had for properties we had. That was a long, long dissertation, but we finally got it done. But there's always been this contention between the two bodies that I, as soon as I got over there, I could feel it, and that was 30 years ago. So, interesting. It's kind of like we live for confrontation. Before there was another high school, it was Lathrop versus Monroe, and then it became Lathrop versus everybody else. And you always want to compete with somebody, or Fairbanks against Anchorage or something. It seems to be human nature. How do you overcome it? That's it. Thank you.
That's a Lathrop coaching jacket you have on?
It is. It's a city high school.
Okay, let me have my final comment here.
I'm glad I'm at the end of the row here. I remember those 30 years ago circumstances you're talking about. I'm sorry if I use the word consolidation and not unification or both or whatever. But my comments are, we need to start working together. I don't care what label you put on it. We cannot exist in this isolated, taking jabs at each other all the time. It just doesn't, it's a waste of our time, our resources, our energy. We could be doing something productive instead of fussing back and forth. And I think it's gone way past the time of when it's necessary for us to not just one olive branch, but we need to take a whole bouquet. I mean, we need to figure out how we all sit down in the same room and get to know each other in a more respectful fashion. I think what's happening right now is an embarrassment for our town, and we need to get beyond that. We cannot accomplish quality work when people are more engaged in spatting with each other, because we don't have the time or the energy or the meeting schedule or whatever that gets devoted to doing the work. And so both sides are suffering greatly, and that's our community that's suffering greatly. So in some fashion or another, I'm not sure whether we call it consolidation, unification, or municipality, or whatever it is. It's certainly been done in other communities. It's Juneau, Anchorage, in Alaska. And we need to look at all the options for solving this big, huge gap that's between us. And we can't pretend it's not there. It's being discussed, thankfully. For a long time, wasn't discussed. When Jerry brings up the 30 years ago, you know, I remember all that. I remember all the meetings in between. And the idea of not discussing and acknowledging something is a really long, sad marriage, you know, that just isn't going anyplace. And we need to determine that we're going to spend our time and our energies in working on productive relationships that are effective for our community.
City Clerk.
Council, I will be away on vacation for the next council meeting and the next work session, which was moved from the 3rd to the 5th, from a Tuesday to a Thursday. So I just asked to be excused. Colt will be sitting in my absence.